Well, it was George Orwell who said, in our age, there's no such thing as keeping out of politics. All issues are political issues, and politics itself is a mass of lies, evasions, folly, hatred, and schizophrenia. Those were certainly the impressions that I got watching Jabu Mabuza, the chair of Eskom, Pakamani Khadebe, the CEO, and the Minister of Public Enterprises, front up at a press conference this morning to basically shrug their shoulders and tell the nation, well, we don't really quite know when load shedding is going to end. We'll come back to you in 10 days' time. Nessun Nair, Senior Portfolio Manager at Sasfin. It's an angry nation right now that confronts this ruling party. What do you make of the announcement that we could have stage 5 and 6, 5,000 and 6,000 megawatts shed from the load? We already don't have 17,000 megawatts available. What's next?
Good evening to the listeners as well. You know, Mike, I think the concern a lot of people have around load shedding is basically that nobody knows. You know, usually when there's a problem, the first step is to try and identify what the source of the problem is before even, you know, applying your mind to what a solution to that problem might be. And right now, you know, the people that we look to help us to describe the problem, you know, simplistically, themselves are struggling to understand. So, you know, the markets react very quickly. You saw the rand, the instance of load shedding dropped from 1320 to 1444. I mean, that's the sort of typical market response that you would get where, you know, the load shedding has a huge impact on economic growth. You know, some people estimated at almost 50 billion GDP a day. You know, it doesn't look like there's any near-term prospect that this is gonna stop. So, you know, I think we'll just wait and see. But it's a good idea with winter coming, you know, to actually buy that generator.
Yeah, absolutely. Now is the time. And if you're on town gas, maybe you can get yourself a gas generator instead. We do know that on Thursday, according to Andrew Etzinger, a ship is going to be docking with some diesel stocks. Very expensive solution, that, but at least it will sort of de-escalate the crisis somewhat. What really stood out for me was this issue on maintenance and the fact that government is now going to be going to National Treasury looking for an opt-out on some strict procurement processes to acquire the parts and spares. A red flag for corruption, this, when you don't go through the normal checks and balances. But it was also mentioned by the CEO that maintenance of the plants over the last 10 years quite clearly has taken a backseat. The figure pointed to was 37 billion rand that should have been spent. Only 10 billion rand was spent, so less than a third. Where is the money gone?
That's the big question. You know, over the last 10 years, we've had consistent increases in the price of electricity. And one of the reasons given was that, you know, the plants were aging. They needed to be maintained. There was a cost to this maintenance. It's just, you know, not fathomable to understand why they weren't maintained. You know, the bigger challenge the government has going forward is to ensure that the right people are installed in these plants to ensure this sort of maintenance does in fact take place. And you know, it's clear from what we know right now that those people are not there.
We're angry at government, we're angry at Eskom, and rightly so, because it's been a revolving door of executives, various CEOs and chairs that we've seen over the last decade. But equally so at what's going on at Steinhoff, and the dirty executives were named in Parliament today. Although the names weren't named in the PwC report, I think through a process of elimination, most people who've been following the story quite closely could have told you that it was Marcus Huister pulling the strings right at the top, along with Dirk Schreiber, Ben Lachrangi, and Stian Horbler. Ex-company secretary David Romano was also named. And those outside of Steinhoff, Sigmar Schmidt, Alan Evans, and Jean-Noël Pasquier are those in charge of those off-balance sheet entities. The big question now has to be, when are we going to see the hawks move? When are we going to see the German authorities move? And some accountability, Nessun.
You know, this question we've been asking for quite a long time now, because remember, you know, the news about Steinhoff broke in December 2017, And even, you know, 6 months prior to that, there were questions being asked precisely around the accounting for some of these deals that were done. Institutions in government exist to address this sort of behavior. We've got the old FSB, FSCA now, which is responsible for market conduct. We've got the JSE. We've got several parliamentary committees with the necessary oversight. We've got the Hawks. We've got the NPA. We've got a new leader of the NPA as well, who I'm sure is intent on proving herself. So I would think the only thing holding back is to obtain this mountain of evidence. My concern is, you know, evidence disappears. And, you know, I'm sure that the PwC report would provide a basis, from where you could obtain evidence. But the best evidence would have probably been within the company itself, that the authorities needed to have access to. So it's going to be a difficult case to prosecute. I think it will go to prosecution, though. I think it has to go to prosecution. I don't think this one just blows over. There's too many people that lost too much of money, and one of the biggest is obviously the Government Employees Pension Fund. The State Pension Fund, which I think, you know, those people are definitely going to want to have some answers. So my only concern is, you know, given that it's going to be difficult to prosecute, what sort of justice will people get at the end of the day? Might be too early to ask that question, but you know, I hope that they do get the justice that they deserve.
I feel the wheels of justice grind so slowly that they might grind the patience of those waiting right into the dust before we see some form of justice. And we did see earlier this month the new Director for Investigations and Enforcement at the FSCA, Brandon Topham, saying that the next 2 months will be interesting in terms of the regulators' investigations into Steinhoff. He was speaking at a media roundtable and said that it wasn't really contingent upon the PwC report, but they were waiting to see it. And it'll obviously complement their investigation as well. The other big talking point is what's going on in the US. The Dove Father Part 2. The Fed begins its two-day monetary policy meeting today. Market expectations for a zero rate hike, as we've seen the dot plot thrown out the window. What else are you going to be looking at, Nessie?
You know, it's amazing how sentiment changes so quickly. We're only in March, and I can still remember mid to late December. The U.S. government was shutting down, or had shut down, actually, over President Trump's wall. We had the Fed chairman, of the view that the Fed was still going to be increasing interest rates into 2019. And very early in January, when they made that statement, that watershed moment almost to say that, we're not as hawkish as that. We're actually a little dovish, and, you know, we'll look at data. The market's already priced in no interest rate increases for this year. So, you know, we're all just keeping fingers crossed here that the sentiment or the rhetoric doesn't turn hawkish again. Because I think if you look at the dollar, and if you look at commodity prices, for the first 2.5 months this year, and if you look at emerging markets, sentiment has definitely changed favorably towards these asset classes on the back of no interest rate increases, or at least one interest rate increase as opposed to four coming in from the Fed. So I think lots of people will look very, very carefully at that statement tomorrow, try and gauge as to whether or not it's reasonable to assume that the Fed is going to pause.
Yeah, let's not stop this party just yet, Mr. Powell. Looking at the markets overall today, Nessun, quite thin on earnings news and trading updates that we've had over the last while. We saw the All Share close the day at 56,849 points. Marginally in the green, most rooms sea facing at the moment. The Rand giving back some earlier strength in the day to finish slightly weaker against the dollar overall. What's the sentiment like?
Yeah, we didn't really have too many announcements today. I mean, we had Hulamin come out, a very small company though, you know, and still struggling, I think, with the fabrication of aluminium products. It's not surprising given, you know, what's happening with load shedding and the volatility in the exchange rate and the aluminium price. At 5 o'clock, we had Remgro as well come out. Earnings are going to be down 3%. So, you know, I think we'll need to delve in a little bit more on those numbers. But, you know, yet again, it's not a good sign when earnings are going back for South African companies. But, you know, at least they're still surviving.
Nessa Nair, Senior Portfolio Manager at Sasfin Wealth. At least they're still surviving for now. Thanks for your view from the market. Let's find out what the traffic is doing with Pusiletso.